Welcome to the Marshall Pruitt Podcast. This episode we have Jeff Andretti, someone whose life was changed permanently at the 1992 Indianapolis 500. That cold, frigid, brutally cold day. Jeff had a crash that it was terrible then. It's never stopped being terrible. He has moved on, returned to race at the Indy 500, gone on to great things, raced another series, moved into the marketing and promotion side today. But as we look back 25 years ago, this 1992 race that had so many angles, so many things, from Rick Mears' last 500, from A.J. Foyt's last 500, Alan Shaw Jr.'s first win, last win for a real true boutique chassis manufacturer like Gallimer, so many, again, and there are a lot of other things too. First 500 for Paul Tracy, first 500 for Jimmy Vassar, this one for me at least, and I think for many who were either there and witnessed it or just cared about the Andretti family, Jeff's crash was terrible. The damage done to his feet. So despite the fact that Jeff has moved on, gone on to live a happy and successful life and one that is continually on the up, I figured it was time to check in, see how he's doing. Of the Andretti family members, between Mario, between Michael, between Marco, those three are in the news constantly because they're active in IndyCar. Jeff, on the other hand, definitely not in the same spotlight as he once was, so maybe a little bit of a forgotten character. And if you were following IndyCar 25 years ago, nonetheless, wanted to check in with Jeff, see how he's doing, talk about that 92 race, get some updates on what life was like afterwards, recovering, and his mindset, which you will hopefully find to be very inspiring. You can get every episode of the Marshall Pruitt Podcast on iTunes. You can also visit our Marshall Pruitt Podcast Facebook page. And with that business done, let's check in with Jeff Andretti 25 years after his frightful day at Indy.
I don't know if you look back at 25 years in any kind of nostalgic way or not, but just curious what comes to mind about that cold day in May 25 years ago.
Tell you, look back in those days, you know, back to that day and stuff. I mean, it just was a dark day for motorsports. You know, it was bright for one individual, and yeah. It was dark for a lot of others. But yeah. You know, it's one of those days where, you know, one of those years where, you know, we I guess you could say we learned a lot about safety with our vehicles, our cars. You know, we knew that, you know, obviously there was an issue that. That we were overlooking as far as safety of the car. I mean, the front of the cars were not as safe as we probably could have had them. But again, you know, it's one of those things where in those days we were all about, you know, trying to keep the cars light and aerodynamic and everything. So, you know, they were getting away from the safety aspect of the cars and not really, you know, we're not even thinking about it because things weren't happening. Then all of a sudden, 92 happens, and, you know, we got some feet injuries. You know, so that, again, you got to look at it. I try to put a positive spin on a negative where, you know, the good that came out of it is the fact that we changed the cars and made the cars safer so other drivers don't have to ever experience what we've gone through.
Yeah.
And so you got to look at it that way.
Cold day. A lot of folks spinning, whether it's tires aren't quite warm enough or otherwise. You weren't one of those folks. You weren't someone, you know, there are a lot of people who made mistakes. You weren't one of them.
Mine was a mechanical failure.
You had a wheel break.
We had a hub cage crack and come apart, and the wheel just came completely off the car on entry to two. But things happen, you know, again, those are areas where when parts break on cars, those are things that you can't foresee. They just happen, you know, and that's, again, I said that it comes down to the danger that we accept in the sport, that stuff's going to break. And unfortunately, I was on the rear end of that stick where, you know, the hub broke on me, and I guess history writes itself after that. That what happened. So.
The 92 race as well was just not a very kind one to your family, with your dad crashing and getting hurt a little bit, Michael obviously running away and things not working out for him in the end. So I can't imagine 92 is remembered very fondly. But you also, you know, you had to go through a hell of a recovery, but maybe some folks don't remember. 92 Indy 500 wasn't your last race, but you had to go through hell to get back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I worked I worked my butt off to get back into the seat again. You know, the first thing out of my mouth to Dr. Trample was, you know, first thing is, when am I going to walk again? Yes. And then the next thing out of my mouth is, well, when can I get back in the seat? And, you know, and he said, well, it's up to you. And so, well, when he said it's up to me, guess what? You know, I accepted the challenge, and I challenged myself. And I found that I actually had an inner strength that I didn't even know I had. And I fought really long and hard, and was able to come back to the Speedway and be able to compete again at the level that I needed to. And the cool part about that was I was able to get Nelson Piquet to come back too, because him and I, when we were, we got hurt the same year, and I, in some way, I gave him an extra push because he was going to call it quits in his career. And I said, absolutely not. I'm not going to have this three-time world champion call it quits over this. You're going to come back to the Speedway just like I am. We're going to compete here next year. And I'll be darned if we didn't do it. And we sat down after the race and said, yeah, we did, didn't we? Yep, we managed to do it. You know, it just shows you that, you know, determination does, you know, does pay off. If any message I could send to people is perseverance does pay off. You know, it's like falling off the horse. You just got to get right back on it, and that's what I did. And, you know, you can't cry about it. You just got to kind of, you know, lick your wounds and go for it again, you know, and that's just what you got to do. I mean, that's we accept the dangers of the sport. You know, it's unfortunate what happened to myself and others that day, but, you know, you can't sit there and cry over spilled milk. You know, it's just, you've got to move on, and, you know, life does move on, and you got to just find other ways. And, you know, I found a new niche. I started a marketing company with a partner that I knew from when I ended my career. He was my last car, I should say, my last sponsor. In the day he and I hooked back up as part and became partners in a marketing company that's actually, it's a non-profit marketing company that we've created that we're doing a STEAM education program called Team STEAM Nation that we're going to be introducing to the industry. We've created an online streaming television program called Andretti Fast Track TV. That's tied to STEAM education curriculum that's actually used in the classroom and around the country. We're going to start with middle schoolers to start with, but then we're going to be able to focus on all from high school kids to middle school kids to even down to the elementary level.
And that was Jeff Andretti. Definitely worth looking him up online. Googling Jeff Andretti, looking at the STEAM initiatives, which is for those of you who are familiar with STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, the STEAM is just the addition of the arts. Interesting to look and see what he's doing, some of the racing-related initiatives, education-wise, that he is bringing forth, and again, we get to cheer Mario, everybody with an M, Mario, Michael, and Marco, but let's not forget about Jeff, and just thankful that he is someone who has found happiness in life, at a time when it really looked like his life might be impacted in a truly negative way. All right. Well, I'm Marshall Pruitt. This is Marshall Pruitt Podcast. Thank you for listening.